It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. You can find Arthur, of course, right here on Robin Hood Radio, live on Mondays, rebroadcast during our noontime hour, and also on the weekend. You can find him on demand. Arthur Schwartz is on demand here at Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. And we bring in Arthur once again. And Arthur, when I last left you, I was riding home that day, and I was thinking about the show and all the food my grandmother and her sisters used to make for Thanksgiving.
Name one thing that you think might have been unusual.
Dedia.
And what was that?
Dedia.
What is that?
Now, if I've got it right, I might have the name wrong, because it's lightly fried pastry that you put sugar on. That was the dessert after all.
When you say lightly fried, you mean deep fried?
Yeah, deep fried, but then lightly sugared at the end. And,
oh, lightly sugared. Yeah. And what did you call them?
Dedia.
Dedia. What language is that?
I think it's Hungarian, I think.
The item is very common, you understand.
But it was a nice light dessert after tons of it.
And in Italy, they eat the same thing. In Poland, they eat the same thing. I'm sure there are many other countries that I'm not, and here's Hungary, is fried dough with confectioner's sugar on top.
Yeah, it's very thin the way they do it.
And usually it was like the thing you had with a piece of fruit.
Yeah, but it looked like it was like a lasagna noodle, but it was fried, so it got it was unbelievable.
You can buy them in the supermarket these days. They call them kruszki.
Well,
they use the Polish name, at least on the products that I see here in New York, and I'm sure it's the same in Sharon.
But I tell you, I was after tons of food, and I could just sit there and just eat the dedia to the
I could just eat them, and you know that in some Italian, in the south of Italy, there are different names in different places in Italy. It's a very regional kind of country. But in the south, they call them chiacchi, at least in my experience, chiacchi, which means chatterers, because it's something you eat with just a cup of coffee in the afternoon with your friends while you're chattering, while you're having conversation. It's a wonderful thing. I love them. So you had those at Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, it was an easy dessert to put out, and there were.
Let me just say, it's not an easy dessert to make.
No. Well, none of this is, but that's when you have four sisters all in the same kitchen cooking. Oh my God.
Oh no, that was lovely, and you reminded me of when I was. Let me just say, my least favorite. Pasta, if you want to call it a pasta, is cavatelli. And at Cecilia's farm, the agriturismo, where they feed a lot of guests and people come just for the food, they have cavatelli all the time. And I got sick of all the cavatelli, so I said one day to the head cook, why don't we make some other kind of pasta? And she said, making cavatelli is not such a hard or difficult or nasty thing, because all the women in the kitchen in the afternoon, we sit around the table and we talk and we make cavatelli. And it goes very fast. So that was like with your chiacchi, whatever you're calling them in Hungarian.
It was nice.
Now you make me feel like I want to make those, or at least buy some. It's too early. Usually it's a Christmas thing. So I don't think that I haven't seen, I'm not looking either, kruszki in the stores yet.
Well, all I could say is that they had all the other desserts that they used to make, but that was my favorite, because after stuffing myself and continuing to stuff, you could eat that like you weren't even eating anything. It was unbelievable.
All right. Well, but let's go back to the beginnings, because you're now my my heritage turkey guru. Although I think that not two heritage turkeys are alike.
No.
I'm sure that the reason that heritage turkeys is they probably were inconsistent in some ways in breeding. Anyway, I bought one. And this is an example. I don't want Jill to explain it. Don't want Jill to explain
it. I won't. Don't worry.
But this is an example of whoever's in retrograde this week, because I ordered a 12 to 14 pound heritage turkey from Whole Foods, and then all of a sudden the number of guests increased. So I called up to change my order to make a larger turkey, and they said, "Nope, we don't have." By the way, they could not have been nicer, more complete. I called the corporate headquarters, not even realizing that the local store number was on the confirmation I'd received, and the corporate office told me, "Well, all the orders are in, and I don't see any extra larger ones. Best advice is keep what you got." So I said, "Yeah, it's okay. We'll manage. It'll be fine." So then I get a call at night, 7 o'clock at night, maybe it was Friday night, to say from the local Whole Foods telling me that, by the way, I had called them, too, as the corporate office advised, call them to double-check that they don't have an extra larger one, and they didn't. But on Friday night, like at 7 o'clock, I get a call from the supermarket saying, "We're so sorry, Mr. Schwartz, but the 12 to 14-pound turkeys never came in. And would you like a this turkey or a that turkey?" And I said, well, wait a minute. I would take another heritage turkey in a larger size. And they said, oh, yeah, well, we have the 14 to 16, 16, blah, blah. So I now have a 18 to 20-pound heritage turkey, which, besides that we're more people, I
wanted anyway.
I'm a little nervous about this because I've never cooked a turkey like this before.
You'll be fine.
And in fact, I left the turkey cooking to somebody else all many, many years, and only in the last 2 or 3 years have I cooked any turkey. And my nephew, whose house I cook the turkey at, always wants to brine, but this year we're not brining. But I never want to brine. By the way, there was a piece in the New York Times last week about brining, and all my old buddies who were promoting brining 20 years ago are now saying, oh, well, you know, maybe it's not such a good idea, except for a couple who say they're in such a habit about brining, and it's part of the ritual of Thanksgiving that they're not giving it up. Well, I never brined. Brian brined a couple of years. And even this year, he said, don't you want to brine? I said, you know, what are you adding? You're adding salt and water. If you went to the market and you bought a turkey that said 10% added weight, salt, and water, you would never buy it. You wouldn't pay $2.49 a pound for salt and water. In any case, we're not brining. And I'm cooking it the way Marshall suggested.
Like a normal turkey, you mean?
No. Well, not like my normal turkey. I'm going to maybe make it $3.75 to start. I'm compromised. Oh, by the way, so I have read that the larger, because these turkeys, these heritage birds tend to be, leaner? They're not really leaner, but...
Yeah, they are. They are.
They are leaner.
Oh, so
they,
yeah.
Because they're leaner, it's better to roast a large one than a smaller one. So I'm very happy I have the 18 to 20 pound. I mean, the worst scenario here is we have a lot of leftovers, and not such a bad thing. I have lots of leftover recipes.
Well, we were already worried. Don't forget, last week we, Marshall, the guru, was worried that the size, because...
It was too small.
Yeah, so...
Yes, I agree. It was after that conversation that I called the supermarket.
Exactly, so actually you're
and
doing...
And so it was Monday, I called them, right. And they called me back. I mean, that's impressive.
That is.
It's totally working out. I mean, so far this is totally working out, so I can't...
Well, it is working out, but it was a lot of confusion in the middle.
Well, you know...
So, anyway, I have this turkey. I'm going to start it at 375. I'm going to rub it all over with butter. I'll probably use a whole stick of butter. I'm going to put some wine at the bottom of the pan underneath the turkey. I mean the rack.
Mm.
And I'm going to start it out at full blast, 375. And after 15 minutes, I'll siphon off some of the liquid on the bottom. I'm mainly putting the wine down there to prevent any dripping from burning. Yeah. In the beginning, and then I'm going to start using that to baste. And when after about an hour, you probably will run out of basting, and then I will tent it and lower the temperature to 325. And I'm figuring a good 20 minutes per pound, or 15 minutes per pound at least. My nephew has one of these super accurate laser, who knows what it is,
thermometers.
And he's very scientific, so I'm sure he's going to want to actually measure the temperature. It should be 160 in the thigh joint. If you read up, you'll see that the U.S. government tells you more. But if you do more, you're going to be have a dry bird.
Now, just remember.
So that's it.
When you tempted, I used to bring it the morning I cooked it. I would bring it in, and I would take it down to the city. And by tenting it and keeping it tented in the car going down to the city,
yeah,
it actually, the first year I found out, it continued to cook. There was darkness on the tin foil that covered the turkey.
Well, yeah. I'm at home, so I don't have to do that.
No.
But, of course, yes. And by the way, you should let your turkey sit at least an hour before carving it. So you don't want to take the turkey from the oven and put it right on the table. So I'm going to, I don't know what time we're eating yet.
Well,
a 20-pound turkey, I'm giving it 5 hours.
Well, I got the call from
including a rest time. I think 5 hours will do it.
I got the call from Takana Farm. Our turkey is being processed on Tuesday.
I like the euphemism.
Yeah. You don't like to use the other word.
Like chicken processing.
And I'll pick it up on Wednesday and cook it Wednesday.
The blood will still be coursing.
By the way, I don't know, you should talk to them. Because my experience
live to death.
With slaughtered, I go to a live poultry market.
Yeah.
It's
tough.
The meat can be very tough unless you let it rest a few days.
No, these go to processing on Monday afternoon.
You just said Tuesday.
I guess it's okay. Tuesday, yeah. And then Wednesday.
And then I pick it up Wednesday morning.
Okay,
yeah.
So the fact is that they've been doing this for a while, and I think
we just
got
sure
the dates.
Yeah, I'm sure they know what they're
doing. So anyway, long short.
I just, in my experience,
say a little prayer.
I find that it really does need to rest well.
You're quite right.
My initial concern about this heritage bird that I've ordered from Whole Foods is that, well, how fresh could it be? But then, if it's being distributed nationally and blah, 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 and I'm not picking it up until Tuesday afternoon.
Well, you'll see.
And then I realize, well, I want 3 days or so
after
slaughter, at least. And I'm sure they do it in a very deep chill.
Well, this
too bad we're not the bird watching show, because there's a pair of cardinals now in the leafless apple tree,
and they will be there all winter because cardinals stick around.
And the cardinals are saying to themselves, "I'm glad I'm not a turkey," because he's talking about
that's
turkeys.
Right. She's like, "What can we have for dinner?" But the coolest thing, bird note, which preceded you, Arthur. They were talking about widgeons, and I don't know whether you know that. Oh, a few hundred years ago, a widgeon was the word for a ditz. Lovely. But particularly. So I just enjoyed the widgeon. I may bring back widgeons. So you've got widgeons, cardinals, and let's just say a little prayer for our Thanksgiving dinners, which are being turned into Thanksgiving dinners right about now. And
the heritage.
I have some advice because I'm only feeding 11 people, but. In order to do that, and by the way, this is like a catering affair here because I'm bringing not prepared food because I'm leaving today for whatever family reason. So I'm not making food yesterday and taking it to Philadelphia and eating it on Thursday. I am taking some vital ingredients that Brian probably doesn't have in his pantry. But,
how's the turkey getting there?
I'm bringing the cranberry sauce already made, and I made turkey broth the other day, that I can bring. That'll be the base for my gravy, and plus the drippings in the pan, in which I will, make a roux with some flour and add my broth. This is going to be very good, I must say. Some herbs. I do put herbs in my gravy.
Which herbs do you use?
And the gravy is not just for the turkey. We're having mashed potatoes.
Arthur, which herbs do you use?
Sage and rosemary.
Okay. And judiciously, because
I don't think judicious. Well, in the old days, and I might end up doing this. I'll see how I feel. I used to make up a basting mixture.
Okay.
This time I'm rubbing the turkey with butter, and that will certainly drip off. And then there's the wine. But in that wine, I usually put some rosemary and sage.
It's just both of those.
In the end, I also add some Madeira to the... and I know we have a bottle of Madeira because I used it last year. and Brian has quite a nice wine cellar and collection.
So
I'm going to add some Madeira to the gravy, too.
Is the turkey in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't grasping that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm not going to schlep a turkey.
Oh, no, that just becomes...
Monday for Thursday.
Having once...
No, and there's a Whole Foods is practically around the corner.
Right. No, now I...
And I'm enjoying Whole Foods. I was a real anti-Whole Foods guy when the other guy with the bad politics, as far as I'm concerned, owned it, and the prices were insane. And people used to joke to call it Whole Salary or Whole Pay. But now the prices are normal. And for the quality you get, for sure.
Right. Plus, you had that butcher, the actual real live butcher experience.
Yeah. Plus, my one in Brooklyn has a parking lot.
Right. what more could you want?
This is a real luxury in Brooklyn to go to a supermarket with a parking lot. By the way, when it was first built, I was so admiring of the parking lot. I said, I don't want to say too many bad things about Whole Foods because they have the best parking lot. Not only is it spacious and well-organized, but they have heat lamps so that in snowy weather, the parking never ices over.
Oh, that's fantastic. Totally worth the price of admission. Can we go back for
right?
one? Totally. It's the little things. Can we go back for 1 second? This is and the reason.
Yeah, I want to give a recipe for this pie that I'm making.
Okay, so
I did a trial run, even though it's a pie I made for I don't know a couple decades probably.
All right, well, just before
I hadn't made it in a long, long time, so I tried it again.
Just before you do that, and this is because I have had a couple of rosemary and sage fails because I have left it too long. That's the only reason I'm going.
What are you talking? Left it where?
I, for example, I've made potatoes with sage, you know, in the water, sort of Alice Waterys. And if you
can overdo sage,
you can overdo sage is what I'm trying to say. And you can
overdo rosemary too. They're both reasonably aggressive. However, although I do find fresh sage
less aggressive,
is not as aggressive as dried sage. And in fact, I usually use dried sage, but I just look, I'm very well organized, and I was going to say, here's my advice, I'm only feeding 11 people, I was about to say, but I still need so many lists, shopping list, a list of pots and pans and serving dishes that will be needed, a list of the order of things, what I'm going to cook on Wednesday, what I'm going to cook on Thursday. I had a list, and that one's torn up now, of all the things I need for my own pantry, and that's all in a bag already, if it's not fresh stuff, and blah, blah. So I have, I think, 5 lists just to feed 11 people. And without the lists, and this goes way back in my history, without the lists, I would be lost. And I can't imagine anybody being able to do Thanksgiving dinner without a few lists, even if you're not a list maker. I am not a list maker in life. But when it comes to these kind of things, there's no way to get around a list. Even I do shopping lists. I always have a shopping list. And I always regret when I don't have a shopping list. So this pie is a pumpkin pie. I got to say, my 5-year-old great-niece is so excited that she's going to eat pumpkin pie. She has no concept of what this is. I'm not sure. I'm going to ask her before we make it. And I'm going to make it with her. It's so easy. And what's different about this pie? Oh, let me just say, this recipe is from a book called James Beard's Menus for Entertaining. And along with Fanny Farmer, this was the only book I took to college. I mean, I had 2 cookbooks in college. I did have my own apartment starting sophomore year. And I took with me a paperback version of Fanny Farmer, which is what my mother used, and I don't know why I bought James Beard's Menus for Entertaining. I must have thumbed through it and said, I can do most of this stuff, and I can, I could. And so I had that. So whenever I want to make something more or less the way my mother did it, and it's not something Jewish, Yiddish, I go to the all-new Fanny Farmer Boston Cooking School cookbook, and there it is. Complete and unabridged in a paperback edition that I still have. It's in my hand. I wanted to see when was this printed. The original is 1896, but this, and I'm sure revised many times. Yeah, this edition is 1961. No, sorry, this is 1963. Yeah, 1963, this edition. And I graduated from high school in 1964. So, for instance, I still make sometimes the kind of chili con carne my mother made. My father loved chili. And that's a more or less a recipe from Fanny Farmer, but I've revised it a little bit. And in fact, you can find it in Soup Suppers, my cookbook. I wanted to make candied yams for Thanksgiving. And I did apologize last week to Willie May, whose Scotch House candied yams I thought were horrible because they were just sliced potatoes with brown sugar syrup poured over them and not at all condensed enough. Anyway, I look up recipes and I find that almost everybody makes them like that. But my mother didn't. And so I looked it up in Fanny Farmer, and there was more or less what my mother did, which is, you know, although my mother boiled the potatoes, as they say in Fanny Farmer, I baked the sweet potatoes, and then I glazed them with brown sugar and butter and put them in the oven, not on top of the stove. And they get nice and, at the end I found I had to run them under the broiler a little bit to get a few little really deeply caramelized spots on them, but they were really good. In fact, ate too many. So in James Beard's Menus for Entertaining is this pie he calls rich pumpkin pie, and he makes enough for two pies, but I have, you know, reduced the recipe in half, and here's what I do. And by the way, to add, there is I think there's a nice balance of pumpkin and spice, but my two tasters thought it could be more pumpkin-y. I'm not sure I want it more pumpkin-y. You know, the whole deal with sweet potatoes, as we know from Starbucks, it's all about the spices. So this is 1 cup of mashed pumpkin, and James Beard says it, canned is ideal, so who am I to argue? I used canned. 3 eggs. You put this in a bowl. 1 cup of mashed pumpkin. By the way, a can holds more than 1 cup, so you've got to figure out what to do with the rest of the can. I can tell you. 3 eggs. I'm sorry, yeah, 3 eggs. 1 cup of heavy cream. You're just putting this all in a bowl. 1/4 teaspoon, well, yeah, about 1/4 teaspoon of salt. That's more salt than Beard has, but I like a little more. 1/3 cup of sugar. As you can see, it's low in sugar, this pie. Very rich, though. I'm going to cough, excuse me. I'm still a little bit of getting over the cold. 1/4 cup of very, very thinly slivered candied ginger. Bob came into the kitchen while I was slivering this and said, oh, where did you get that? And I said, you know, nowadays you can get it in any supermarket. Candied ginger, little slices of ginger that have been, or crystallized ginger is another a name for it. So these are already thin slices, and I sliver the thin slices to make about 1/4 cup. And that's it. You mix those all together. You pour it into a pre-baked, or at least blind-baked, pastry shell. I'm going to give you the choice of making your own or going out and buying them frozen, which works great. And in that case, how I deal with the frozen one is I put the oven on 425. I line the pie shell, frozen pie shell, or still frozen, with a piece of aluminum foil, enough to cover the edge. And I pour in beans that I keep in a jar just for this purpose, weighting down pastry. Oh, I prick the bottom and the sides with a fork. And then I put in the foil at 425. I let it go 6 minutes, take out the foil, and let it go another, you may have to prick the bottom again, another 6 minutes, and you have a pre-baked pie shell. So you can do that ahead and let it cool. And you can even just keep it, not in plastic, please. Wrap it in foils rather loosely so it doesn't actually sweat or get soggy. And you pour in your pumpkin mixture. And oh, I left out an essential ingredient, 1/4 cup of really good brandy. I have good cognac, and I'm using it. And another pinch or so of either nutmeg or mace. If you don't have mace in the house, use nutmeg. And you pour that into the pie shell, and you bake it at 375 for 40 minutes. The custard will not only be set, but it'll puff up. And when it's evenly puffed up and it doesn't jiggle in the middle, it's done. Could be 35 minutes, so check it after 35 minutes. Depends on your oven. And let it cool, but it's really great served slightly warm. So let's say you let it cool for 40 minutes or so, but it's Thanksgiving and you want things to be done ahead, so serve it at room temperature. Just don't refrigerate it. I think that ruins the pastry. And in fact, you can leave this pie out overnight even, just loosely covered with foil, and it'll be perfect the next day. Of course, nothing could top this except a real good heap of whipped cream.
That's right.
And James Beard says you should spike the whipped cream with cognac and a little bit of confectioner's sugar. So sweetened and boozed up whipped cream on top of your already... No, you don't taste the whiskey or... Not the whiskey. You could use bourbon, by the way.
Right.
It's very good. You won't taste it in the end. It's a nice complex of flavors. I don't make it too spicy, but Beard says, oh, taste it, and if you want it spicier, make it spicier. But then the spices will overwhelm the whole thing.
Use bourbon because bourbon's one of the things that the tariffs are really cutting down on our selling, our good old American bourbon.
Oh, I agree. And not only that, the only reason I'm using cognac is this is an old bottle.
Oh.
I went to buy some cognac not long ago, and the price astounded me. I think the least expensive cognac was about $80.
Yeah. Well,
hello.
And it just as a Mrs. Gadd.
Is that because of tariffs? I didn't even realize.
No. That's just because of greed.
I thought so.
Good old American greed.
I don't know. You know, but... I keep saying I'm getting like my grandfather, who was a waiter at a kosher dairy restaurant called The Famous on Eastern Parkway. And when they raised the price of soup from 50 cents to 75, he said, who's going to pay 75 cents for a bowl of soup?
You know, and he was right.
Well, if I saw a bowl, I would be very suspicious
exactly.
of a 75-cent bowl of soup these days.
All right.
But, you know, you get older and the prices keep going higher, too.
It's bizarre. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope my turkey is successful. I'll blame Marshall if it isn't.
Okay,
oh, yeah, he's
I'll
ready.
Take the blame. I'm ready for the blame. That's
he's ready.
Okay.
We're excited for the turkey report, the Heritage Turkey Report.
I don't know whose heritage this is, but
you'll
we'll find out.
Okay. Thanks, Arthur. Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton, Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or a sit-down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.